We are going to go today to Acts chapter 2. At least we should start there. And yeah, come Holy Spirit. We shall read some of the chapter. When the day of Pentecost came, side note, today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? As in, these aren't the brightest people. They're not known for their academic prowess, the Galileans. How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We've spent a few weeks just looking at the subject of the Holy Spirit. We identify that at around about 200 AD, the church was wrestling to find language to kind of express what it was they understood about the nature of God. And they came up with the word Trinity, Trinitas in Latin, to represent the fact that God was three persons but one essence, one being. We said that the Holy Spirit, being part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each three of those are personal. And the Holy Spirit was present and involved right throughout Jesus' ministry. It's already been mentioned this morning that Jesus came, he laid aside any power, anything to do with his divinity, and he lived on earth as fully human. Philippians 2 there. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, being made in human likeness. He became fully human. He laid aside any power associated with his divinity. How did he do what he did? He was full of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit, working through Jesus, was able to achieve everything that Jesus did. So we then spent a short while looking at the Holy Spirit's work. What is the purpose? What is the job? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? And essentially, it's summed up in this one thing, that the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. He glorifies Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. I haven't got these verses on the screen, but John 16:14, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will point people towards Jesus. His job is to glorify Jesus, to honor Jesus. What does that look like? Well, the Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit teaches truth. He causes the scriptures to become alive to us. And as it comes alive to us, we get convicted about our sin. We get a true understanding of our position before God. He doesn't come to condemn us, but he comes to show us this is where you're at and this is what you need to do to get right. He brings clarity about our condition before God and the need for us to change. Further down in the Acts passage, Acts chapter 2 verse 37, it talks about the people, they were cut to the heart through Peter's words. The Holy Spirit brought conviction into their hearts. To the extent they said, what must we do to be saved? The Holy Spirit convicts us, reveals us the truth about God, the truth about ourselves, so that we turn to God. Then following that, the Holy Spirit regenerates us and gives us new life. John 3:5-6, the Spirit gives, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us to give us new life. And a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago now, we read from Titus 3 about the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Once we have been born again, once we have been renewed, once we have been forgiven, the Holy Spirit then continues to guide us and direct us, to lead us through life. He teaches us the truth and helps us understand how we apply that in our life now. What choices should we make? He guides us. And then finally, the last one we looked at was the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers our life. Acts 1, if we go back just a page from where we were reading, Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus says to them, "What you will receive what when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." That's how we are to do the things that Jesus said. You know, everything you've seen me do, you will do these things and greater things. John chapter 14 verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." So because I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means by which I've done what I've done here on earth as fully human. I'm going to the Father will send the Holy Spirit to you. That is how important the Holy Spirit is, that we can live the life that Jesus lived. Moving on from that, a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit, love, joy, peace. Patience is in my mind, but forbearance is in the NIV translation now. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all things, these are fruit that are evident in our lives when the Holy Spirit is working in us. You may think of yourself, you may think of other people. Oh, well, they're quite a loving person. They're a very patient person. But you might not see them when they're tired and they've had a rough day and they're feeling rubbish. We all need, no matter how much we may naturally seem to be loving, to naturally be kind, we all need the Holy Spirit to work in us, to make us. Make us what? Make us more like Jesus. The whole focus of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to glorify Jesus. And for us to become more like Jesus, that is glorifying Him. And the fruit isn't something we work up. We don't try and work up fruit. It's a natural outworking of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. As we are transformed to be like Christ, the fruit will grow. Remember, we had a mock-up of a grapevine with a bunch of grapes hanging on it. The vine doesn't have to try hard to make grapes appear. It just has to be planted in good soil. The gardener tends to the plant, prunes it, ensure that it's got what it needs, and fruit comes. We need to be like that with the Holy Spirit. So today, I wanted to speak about the gifts of the Spirit. Before that, and I'm looking at the clock, so we're going to have to go through this quite quickly. I just wanted to do a slight aside, because today is Pentecost Sunday in the calendar. And Pentecost was the Greek, Shavuot is the Hebrew. In Scripture, we see Shavuot was the celebration of the wheat harvest. You remember, 50 days ago, we had... mental blank. What was 50 days ago? No, not Passover. First fruits. That was the one. We had Feast of First Fruits, which was, in the calendar, was the barley harvest. 50 days later, you have Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, which was based around, from what we read in Scripture, the wheat harvest later in the year, because it ripens later. In Jewish tradition, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, as in already well established by the time that we're looking at with the day of Pentecost here, the Jews gathered together on that day to celebrate the giving of the law. The day when Moses came down the mountain with the tablets that God had given him with the law on them. So Acts chapter 2 there, we read that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They weren't together in one place because they knew the Holy Spirit was coming. They were together because it was Pentecost, because it was Shavuot. Verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Why were they there? They were there to celebrate that God had given them the law, His good, perfect law. If we just have a quick look at Exodus chapter 19, this is the account of Moses on Mount Sinai. In verse 18, it says, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Smoke billowed up from around it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. When God came onto the mountain to give the law, there was a blaze of fire. And that parallels, if you flick back to Acts chapter 2 in verse 3, we see when the Holy Spirit came down, there was tongues of fire. Another parallel we see that in Exodus chapter 32, Moses comes down the mountain with the stone tablets, and what does he find? What was going on? They were worshipping a golden calf. And verse 32, as a result of that, about 3,000 people died because of breaking the law of God. Yet, when we go back to Acts chapter 2, we see that 3,000 people were saved. Acts 2 verse 41, 3,000 people were added to their number. Direct parallel of what's going on there. Jeremiah 31 verse 33. Jeremiah prophesied the coming of a new covenant. He said, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel at that after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." He said, a new covenant is coming. And the new covenant, I'm going to write my law on their hearts. Joel chapter 2, verse 29. So this is what Peter was quoting from. So Joel says, "And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those in those days." That in itself, for him to be saying that, it was very rare. I think there's only one prophetess mentioned in the Old Testament, Deborah. But the vast majority of prophets, people prophesying, would have been priests or men who were designated as prophets. For him to be saying, "I will pour out my spirit on men and women, young and old," there's no holding back here. The Spirit's going to be poured out. So on the day that they're celebrating that God gave them the law, God pours out His Holy Spirit in fulfillment of those two prophetic words and others. And through Scripture, we read about what are the benefits? What does the Holy Spirit mean? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is poured out? What does it mean for us? Yes, there will be prophecy. All people will be able to prophesy. But what does it mean beyond that? And we read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a couple of things that you could mention at this point, and I just want to touch on them briefly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we read about gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We have there what are often known as the gift ministries. They are gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, sometimes translated shepherds, and teachers. The five ministry gifts. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 28. So he's been talking about the body in the context of the gifts. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, and of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? The inference? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he says, you know, we should desire the greater gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. Working of miracles, prophesying. These things, they are distinct from the ministry gifts, say, for example, the ministry gift of the prophet. But as I read that, there are some things in there I think, oh, that's slightly surprising. Helping. Guidance. And we think, well, that doesn't really sound very, very spiritual in that sense. Is that a gift of the Spirit to be able to help people? I think sometimes it might be. What do we read? The first person that the Holy Spirit came upon them, we read about Bezalel in Exodus, that he was given skill to create all sorts of artistic designs. We can easily, I'm going to say, relegate the work of the Holy Spirit to things that are spiritual, quote unquote. But the Holy Spirit should be working through every aspect of our lives. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we have all sorts of different gifts. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing mercy. And I think it's fair to say that writing there to the church in Rome, he's not saying, here is an exhaustive list of everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. These are examples. This is not a definitive list of the gifts of the Spirit. They're examples of the kinds of things that will glorify Jesus. That if we live like this, it will glorify Jesus. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, but earlier in the chapter, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, and to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Again, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives that enables us to do for the benefit of the body and for the benefit of bringing glory to Christ. And as we look through, particularly in the book of Acts, we see that speaking in tongues is shown as the primary evidence for being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we flip over the page to 1 Corinthians 14, we read, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So when you're speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit's just stirring your heart. You're praying in a way that I don't understand in my brain what I'm saying. My heart is, I'm pouring out my heart to God. I haven't got the words to say. I'm speaking to God unfiltered in that sense. Verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening and encouragement and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So in the main, speaking in tongues, we build ourselves up, but we're speaking to God. But that's not always the case. What did we read in Acts chapter 2? We've got these uneducated people who are not renowned for their ability with foreign languages, speaking in quite a variety of languages listed there. And the crowd are amazed because they see these people, more to the point, they hear these people speaking in languages from all across the known world, declaring the wonders of God. Wow, there is something going on here. Surely God is in their midst. Tongues is an overflow of the Spirit giving prayer and praise to God, and a declaration of the wonders of how good God is. But that's just the start. As we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, he says, desire the greater gifts. That's come on the end of him talking about being a body. And we aren't all the same thing. We are diverse in our strengths and our abilities and what God wants to do in us and through us. I don't know if you've ever had the misfortune of being in a discussion about that, about being the body. I think I'm a foot in the body of Christ. What? Well, maybe you're a spleen or something. No, hang on, let's not miss the point of what this scripture is saying. In the context of spiritual gifts, we aren't all the same thing. He doesn't write here to say, you're like a body, therefore which part of the body, human anatomy, are you? It's like, we're all different. We've all got different abilities and different gifts from the Holy Spirit. Let's use them. Let's not all try and be the prophet. Let's not all try and be the evangelist. Let's not all try and be the teacher. God has given each of us different abilities. Be what you are. Sure, desire the greater gifts, the gifts that bring more benefit to more people. But that's where we're going. And really that brings us back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to do all sorts of these different things that we've mentioned this morning. What is the purpose? The purpose for the gifts is not so that I look good. The purpose for the gifts is not so that I can say, hey, I've prayed for 10 people this week and they all got healed and 7 got raised from the dead. Check, no. The purpose of the gifts is to glorify Jesus, to build up the church. We receive power not for our benefit, but for the benefit of those who don't yet know him. That the church would be built up to bring his kingdom here on earth. To what extent do I want the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me. That really is the question. To what extent do I want the Holy Spirit to work through me? Yeah, it'd be cool. I need the Holy Spirit to be working through me so that whatever. And I wonder why. Whatever answer you've given, it's always helpful to have an understanding of why. Because sometimes we can make a decision to do something and we hit up against a wall. You think, oh, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Oh, it's such hard work. Yeah, I'll look at that tomorrow. But what's your why? Because the why will still be there when the going gets tough. The why will still be there when I don't understand what's going on. The why will help me press through. I want the Holy Spirit to be working in me and through me because I see a community, I see a nation that needs changing. Because Jesus is the answer to our world. He is the way. He is the truth. Why do I put in the hours that I put in studying scripture? I don't know. I mean, particularly since taking over leading the church, it won't surprise you to know, spent massively more time in scripture because I'm coming here almost every week to prepare to speak to you, and that's not a 5-minute task. But why do I do this week in, week out? Because I need to know the scripture because there are people that need Jesus. My role, I mean, we looked at some of the gift ministries. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I'm a teacher, naturally. That's what I do. And it's easy for me in that sense. And so I guess my heart is that I want to impart things to people. To do that, I need to know it and be prepared. Whatever that looks like. You say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to use me for? Sure. Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Lead people to Jesus. I take it from that Timothy wasn't an evangelist, gift ministry. Paul said to him, you've got to do that work anyway. You've got to do these other things, but you need to flow in who you are. For all of us, we need to flow in the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, that He gives out as He determines. Just as we close, would you maybe stand with me as we pray? And if your heart is, Holy Spirit, would you come and work in me, work through me? Lord, I yield myself to you. Would you pray that with me? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you came on that day of Pentecost to put your law, to put your way of living in our hearts. The law which taught people how to live a God-honoring life, that taught people to live in a way that the nations would look at them and saying, what wise laws you have, what a great God you have. That law that you write in our hearts, Lord, that our desire is to follow you, to point people to you. Lord, as they were celebrating, you came in power. And we freely confess here this morning, Lord, we need you in our lives. Holy Spirit, we need your power in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you come and touch us? Would you come and change us? Would you cause faith to rise in our hearts like never before? Lord, would you cause faith to grow, that we would believe your word, that we would walk on the strength of your word, that sickness would go because you took the sickness upon yourself at the cross, that we would have wisdom that defies human logic sometimes, but it just seems to be the right thing because it's wisdom from God. Lord, would you give us knowledge, things that we couldn't otherwise know, but you just drop it into our hearts and we know. Holy Spirit, would you give us the ability to prophesy, that we would speak words of life, words of hope, words of truth that encourage the body, that strengthen and build up. Because, Lord, you know we are in a world that is trying to tear down, that we have an enemy who is trying to steal, to kill and destroy. Lord, we want to be those who speak life, who speak your words, who speak hope. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life. Lord, I think I speak for us all here this morning when I say, have your way in our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Holy Spirit, work in us and work through us, we pray.